All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
David, listen.
There's no time for fooling around.
There is no time to die. Or to fool around. There's no fooling around and no dying.
No dying.
Yep.
Two things we've banned here at the
Although
podcast.
There's plenty of time in the No Time to Die movie. Should we roll right into that?
Sure.
I mean, I was making a joke about No Time to Fool Around because I feel like, don't you feel the same way? There was a lot of like actual news this week.
Yeah.
So we might as well start with James Bond.
Right. Runtime of 163 minutes.
Right. And for those of you at home without your calculators handy, that's 2 hours and 43 minutes long.
Right. Right. Or as Mystery Gobble wrote in, still shorter than one of our shows.
Still better than one of your shows. He didn't say better, but I think that was implied.
Yeah.
That was assumed.
He won't have to watch the movie in 1.5.
So what's your take on this long running time for James Bond?
Okay. All right. I already know where you stand on this.
Do you?
Well.
Do you, though?
I know that you have a duality of where you stand on this.
Yes, you're correct.
I'm all for it. As long as they use the time wisely.
Oh.
If they make it worth my time, then great. I mean, look at 1917.
Yeah.
Was that considered long?
No.
No,
it was like normal, but it was a good solid movie.
Right. But think of how pacing in that movie went when we were like, can't believe that guy's dead already.
Right.
And then we were like, wait a minute, we're an hour into this movie. If it has pacing like that, sure.
Sign me up.
Yeah, I'm cool.
Okay, yeah. I basically land the same way with a little asterisk that says, side note, this is going to be bad for business.
Mm.
Because not forget what people think about a long running time. Forget the customers. Like, I think everybody who wants to see this movie is going to come see this movie, period. What I'm talking about is if you have a movie that's 2 hours and 43 minutes long, that adds up. So I'm going to be able to get four shows a day.
Instead of how many normally?
Typically five.
So,
but on some shorter movies, it's six.
So why couldn't you have a show start an hour earlier and end an hour later?
You could, but then it becomes a question of, like, so on Saturday, I'll stretch it out. And what I'll do to achieve, I will end up with five shows a day of this movie.
Okay.
But only because it's James Bond. And the way I will do that is I'll take business from other titles. Oh, you know what I mean? Okay. Like, but if I truly put it in one theater, you're only going to get four show times a day unless you start bringing staff in early. But then you have to talk about staffing costs and, you know, payroll and stuff like that.
Right.
And, you know, you don't want to, unless it's a massive, you know, like Avengers or Star Wars or something like that, then it's worth opening early. But I'm not going to have my first show start at 10 a.m., you know, to accommodate James Bond.
Hmm.
So we'll see.
Okay.
We'll get there. I'm okay with it. I'm just saying. And I said to the studio guy, like, hey, this is, you know, it's no good. And he was like, whatever, are you booking the film or what?
Speaking of,
you know, the studio guys don't like to have these kinds of discussions.
They don't care.
They don't care. They don't got time for it.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to hypothesize and discuss and make wisecracks.
Right. Right. Something I noticed. We've been talking a lot about James Bond.
Yes.
And the future of James Bond.
Ever since he broke his ankle on set. I can't believe we're almost here.
Will there be enough food at the craft services? I was noticing the branding change because we've been talking a lot about what's the future of Bond. Does it have to be James Bond? Could it be a woman? Where are we going?
Right.
But I've been noticing that it's tending less to James Bond in No Time to Die, and it's been the branding's been 007.
Oh.
Like on the posters, like it says No Time to Die, and then it says in like, it doesn't say James Bond, it says 007.
And on the trailer, to agree with what you're saying, I never thought of it until you just brought it up. But now that you bring it up, on the trailer, you know, he's talking to that new agent and he's like, oh, are you a 00 now?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, I have been for a few years. So that may be like, you know, beginning to sort of broaden the franchise by having like a 00 franchise.
Right.
That'd be pretty neat.
And I think that's a cool way to do it because they haven't been, like we all call them the James Bond movies, but they've never been James Bond such and such. They've always been like the title.
Right.
And then it's, I think it might be like James Bond in whatever.
Interesting.
So I thought that was kind of, when I noticed, I was like,
look at you picking up on this.
You know, sometimes I open my eyes and
every now and then.
Everything's clear.
All right.
Chris Bremmer, the scribe who brought us Bad Boys for Life, is now on tap to write Mask for Hasbro and Paramount. You know what Mask stands for?
No, I don't know anything about this news piece.
I think it's Mobile Armored Strike Combat with a K. It was an 80s toy line, Transformers time, and it would be like cars, and then they would not fully transform, but like they would like open up and like a gunner seat would pop out.
Okay.
That was the whole thing, is that they had gun. I wasn't into them. I don't get the appeal of these things, but they're big in the 80s nostalgia toy line world.
What if this new franchise, Mask, goes on to be bigger and better than Transformers?
You know what's going to upset me the most out of that? That it's called Mask. And it's not about wearing masks, it's about transforming cars. And that always bothered me. I think that's why I never liked the toy line. I was like, I don't know, why is it called Mask? Well, look, this gas station turns into an army base. Okay. Like,
wait.
All right.
Is Jim Carrey going to be in this movie?
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Oh my God.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have some more interesting news. First of all, let me just go on record right here. Episode 58.
Yeah.
I'm super psyched for Mask only because I want it to be awesome. And I want to watch you just suffer.
I don't understand.
The whole world's like going crazy about this incredible new franchise that everybody loves. And the theme among all news stories is like, it's too bad Transformers could never have lived up to what Mask has become. Watch David's head explode.
And I'm like, I don't get it. People are like, it's combat with a K.
It's combat. It's with a K. Isn't that crazy? Did you know that's a pet peeve of mine?
When people spell combat with a K?
When people spell any word like to be funny with a K. I do not like
people named Kathy with a K?
The silent, no, Kathy with a K is fine. I don't like the silent E, like the shops.
Oh. Oh.
At Kissel Hill with two P's and an E. Like, come on. No. Just say shops and we'll go shop. We'll buy your shit. You don't have to pretend you're like from the pilgrim age.
So when you go to Starbucks, you don't get a frap?
Well, frap, I think there's an E in there on purpose.
Frappe?
I think that's how you like shorten frappuccino. I'm talking about people who are trying to be cute. You know what I mean? And spelling combat with a K is exactly, like, here's a perfect example. And you see it all the time everywhere. People say, oh, it's kids club. And they spell the club with a K because it's like cute. No,
bro. I don't got time for that.
No, ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah.
All right, so let me move on to some actual news that somebody might care about.
Hardly.
I thought this was really interesting. And I didn't quite know what to read in it or read into it, but so I'll just tell you what it is. Steven Spielberg, the man behind what? So many good movies.
E.T.,
for example. He was not the man behind The Irishman, but still a pretty good director. Is that an understatement? Is Steven Spielberg the most influential filmmaker of all time? Who is the most influential filmmaker of all time?
you know, I'd say it's Spielberg.
It's got to be.
In my lifetime, I've not known another director to be consistently bankable.
Well, and I would agree with you, and I would say it's got to be Spielberg, because not only is he consistently bankable, but he has shown success both commercially and artistically. I mean, this is a guy who's not afraid to do a straight-up adult drama, you know, heavy movie.
Yeah.
He's not afraid of serious grown-up shit, but then he can still make a beautiful movie like E.T. or still have fun, you know, make Raiders of the Lost Ark, all this kind of stuff.
Right.
Speaking of Raiders, now our friend Connor, the kid that wrote.
Yeah.
I would love, I don't think he listens to this podcast because he's just a little... he's a wee little lad.
A wee laddie boy.
He's a wee laddie. So Spielberg has made the decision to step down from directing Indiana Jones 5. Pause. Did we know Spielberg was actually directing it?
Well, I think he was set to direct it, and that was like one of the selling points they said was bringing back Harrison Ford. Because Harrison Ford said he would not do Indiana Jones 5 unless Spielberg and Paramount like had a hit on their hands.
So is this a bait and switch, or somehow Spielberg must have made it okay with Harrison Ford?
I think it's a bit of a bait and switch.
Okay.
I'll be honest.
So let's get back to the headline.
Yeah.
Steven Spielberg has made the decision to step down from directing Indiana Jones 5, but will remain attached to the project as a producer. Harrison Ford will still return, but the hunt is on for a new director to bring a fresh perspective to the franchise. Oh, boy.
Spielberg directed Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, right?
Oh, boy. I wonder if Connor, did he like Kingdom of the Crystal Skull? I liked it all right. It wasn't, like, good, but it was all right.
I mean, it's not like it's The Last Jedi or anything.
I'm going to go on record and say something that pains me to say. I'm not happy to admit this.
Yeah.
But here it is.
Let me hear it.
For the whole world to see.
Let me hear it. No, I'm not ready. Okay, I'm ready.
Not ready. Oh my God, that's great. All right. Are you ready now?
Yeah,
now are you ready? Okay, you settled?
Now, yeah.
Okay, have a seat. Take a seat. Get the damn cat out of here. Every week.
I don't know. Where's it come from?
You hardly ever see the cat until it's time to sit down. Okay. So David is sitting, so I'm going to say this news.
All right.
I'm not proud of this, but I feel like I have to be honest because I'm on this show a lot, always saying like...
You're on this show?
On this show frequently.
It's crazy.
I'm on this show and I am often saying I'm on board, I'm excited, you know, and I feel like I'm an easy critic, which is fine. I know a lot of our listeners are too, and we're generally like pretty happy, you know, easygoing, you know. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not proud of this and I'm holding out hope or whatever, but I'm just saying... I feel like we don't need an Indiana Jones 5.
I feel like I agree with you because I would have said okay to more Indiana Jones if it was either a James Bond treatment.
Yes.
Or something more of a spinoff. I just don't know what they're going to do with Harrison Ford to make it fun.
I would have been, and whatever, we'll keep an open mind. We'll see how this film comes together. But I would like them, if I was in charge, I would have had them do for Indiana Jones what Sylvester Stallone did for Rocky.
Yes.
Move to Creed.
Yeah.
Rocky can be, it's in the Rocky universe. Rocky plays an old man. That scene in the street where Creed says something about, he doesn't need the notes, it's in the cloud. Right,
yeah.
And then Stallone's looking up at the sky, going, it's in the cloud. What is that?
Oh, those movies are so good.
They're so good, and it's the perfect way to sort of open that up. I mean, I hope Stallone lives forever and makes movies forever, but at some point, he's going to either retire or pass away. And when he does, the Creed universe can easily continue on.
Yeah,
You know, they'll have a movie where Rocky dies, and there'll be a story plot, you know, and Creed will, you know, do the funeral and fight, and his wife will beg him not to fight, and he'll fight anyway.
At the funeral.
Right? Something like that. Yeah. But how am I not writing movies?
I don't know. Someone get to this guy now.
Right. I'm a natural born scribe. Have you ever tried to write anything?
Yeah. I'm not very good.
Not good.
No. Not like you, not like Crystal Productions, you guys right. with your produced books.
Yeah, I have a produced book, a published book, and also a self-published book, two books. But I still, and I'm not trying to put myself down, but I still don't, I mean, I it's more like a project, like I put it together. Mm. Like, and I'm not trying to discount myself or disqualify myself, but it's not like I wrote the book. I mean, I did. I literally wrote the book with my hand and a Sharpie. But it's not like, you know,
yeah.
complete sentences and storyline and, you know what I mean?
You've got two books with no complete sentences?
Right.
Wow.
Correct. Yes, sir. That's correct, sir. And that right
How
there
do it?
Tells you everything you need to know about Penn Ketchum. And the parts of the second book that do have complete sentences were totally against my will.
it was forced.
Right, right. And if I could, like... The book would never warrant this, but like if it was like some books where they get a second edition, my second edition would delete all the complete sentences.
No punctuation whatsoever.
And if I did that, it would eliminate all the bullshit from the books.
So, would there be any paper in there?
There would be plenty, because the first book would still have all the stuff about the Lord's Prayer, and the second book would still have all the stuff about Psalm 23. Huh. But it would just be left alone to do the important stuff.
Right.
Have None of the – you know what it is? The second book, the it's full, you know, at the beginning of the movie when there's too many credits?
Yeah.
That's what the second book is. That's what the second book is. There's too many credits at the beginning.
When are you going to write your grand podcasting book?
Oh, what would that, like, about this podcast?
About this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That would be just too much fun.
So, right, so
speaking of torturing David, we have some hope on the horizon that we can torture David with the new mask franchise. But your boy, Rian Johnson.
Okay, this actually is interesting news to me. So Ryan, Rian, Rain, Romano, Johnson.
Ryan, Rian, Rain.
Yeah.
Okay, the three R's.
Yeah. He revealed in an interview where he was talking about Knives Out that Apple products now have a clause that villains are not allowed to use iPhones in movies.
Okay.
And he was saying, and what this implies, is that for a mystery writer, which the movies of his I like are all ones that revolve around mystery and surprise, Brick and Knives Out.
Brick?
You've never seen Brick?
I don't think I have. Although it could be like Greta, where I've seen it and I forget.
It's really, really indie, so I don't...
No, I didn't see it.
It's one of those movies that when I went to see it at Midtown in Harrisburg, they handed out a dictionary. Like a card that the company had sent out definitions to all the slang in the movie.
I bet you Chayla saw it.
Probably. Yeah.
It probably played at Zootropolis.
No, it was way before that time.
Oh, it was before?
It's older. Yeah.
Pre-Zoe?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like if you wanted to see this kind of stuff, you had to go to Midtown in Harrisburg.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Anyway, it's interesting because if you're someone, and I probably won't actually think about it while I'm watching the movie, but you can now tell who the villain is if there's a movie with cell phone, people are using cell phones because they won't use an iPhone.
What do you think about this? I have an opinion.
I mean, I get where they're getting at with the brand dealing, but at the same time, I think it's kind of dumb.
I think it's super dumb.
Yeah.
And the reason why I think it's super dumb is because in a twisted way, a lot of times the villains are the cool guys.
Right.
So if I was selling a product.
Yeah.
Like sometimes, like, I mean, when I was a kid, like I sometimes wanted to be Darth Vader. Like when we're playing Star Wars, I wanted to be a stormtrooper or Darth Vader or whatever.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wanted to be Han Solo. Sometimes I wanted to be Chewie or Luke Skywalker or Princess Leia. Wait, Never mind.
But you have the bikini.
That's too personal. No, but seriously, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of times, like, the villain's the cool guy, you know, in some ways. And so I think it's, not only is it stupid just because it's stupid on face value, because come on, what are we, 12? But second of all, it's stupid even from a marketing point of view because of what I just said. Like, I do think, you know, you don't have to write off the villains. They'll help sell your product.
Yeah, I don't see why it would not help sell. I mean, you're still getting your product in front of people's faces. This kind of reminds me of the claws of the Fast and Furious movies. You know about this?
No.
Like The Rock and Vin Diesel and like all the bigs, they have in their claws that they can't be outdone in any fight scenes. When you see a fight scene between The Rock and Vin Diesel, they always are equal blows, and every time it always ends in a draw. Like neither of their characters can lose. And like once you know that, you pick up on like, oh wait a minute, like,
right,
this character is always going to get the one up, or it'll end in a draw, or they both kind of like are two moving things that move away from each other and they stare at each other.
Help me remember this incredibly random movie moment. Mm. Something bad happens to the president of the United States on an airplane. And at the beginning, pretty much towards the beginning of the movie, one of the lead actors gets killed off. And it was like, it was incredibly surprising. Like, it was, you were sort of led to, like, his name was on the poster. His name was, you know, blah, 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 blah. This would be years ago. And then towards the beginning of the movie, he dies. And I loved the movie because of that. Or in the movie, I'm sorry, the movie, it was like a dumb action movie.
Godzilla did that. Remember the newer Godzilla, Bryan Cranston was all over the ads. And at the beginning of the movie, he gets killed.
I dig that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
I think it can be done well. I think in Godzilla, it was a turnoff, but only because the supporting actors didn't hold it up. But then there's movies like Deep Blue Sea, where midway through Samuel Jackson, the star dies.
Yeah.
So
I wanted to say on a side note, because you mentioned Rian Ray and Ryan.
Yeah.
Romano. Can we just point out something here real quick?
Sure.
Knives Out is heading into its 15th week.
Oh, my goodness. What's the longest run?
In release. I can never remember. I forget if it's 17 or 18 weeks. And I always say that it was Bourne. I can't remember which Bourne it was. And I have to go check my notes because I feel like Frozen might have broken that record and I just forgot. But, I mean, definitely the longest... For someone to break the record, it's going to have to be 19 weeks.
Okay.
You know, for us to be confident.
What do you think?
I don't think it's going to make 19 weeks. No. But it's impressive as hell to me that it's going into its 15th week.
Okay.
And meanwhile, Jumanji is going into its 13th week. Mm.
I really liked Jumanji.
Yeah.
I
picked up on that.
Say what?
All right. Moving on. Epic Pictures.
Yeah.
This is a joke, right?
No. I put this on here because it was such an insane thing that I was like, well, we have to talk about this even if it never shows up in our wheelhouse.
You know... what we say at the Ketchum House a lot.
What's that?
Like somebody says something like, for example, why don't you put that in the living room? And then the other person says, why don't you put it in your butt? And then somebody else says, like, we're all out of milk. And then the other person says, we're all out of your butt. And we pretty much all four of us on a regular basis come back with that. Like wow. The one statement is made, like the light bulb burned out. And you're like, oh, your butt burned out. It's a pretty intelligent household.
I was going to say, is Harvard doing a study? Linguistic study in your family.
My poor kids.
Oh my.
Yeah. So anyway, with that as the backdrop, I bring you this hard-hitting news. Epic Pictures Group now has the U.S. distribution rights to Tyler Cornack's Butt Boy, in which, yes, that's right, I said Butt Boy. Epic Pictures Group now has the U.S. distribution right to Tyler Cornack's Butt Boy, in which a detective searching for a missing child discovers his lead suspect has the unique ability. Are you ready for this? Has the lead suspect has the ability to make animals, objects, and humans disappear in his butt. Stop it.
I want to see a trailer for this movie bad.
I hate that this is a news story, and normally I would just like to, you know, make fun of you for putting it on here, but I love it.
I want to know so much more.
Right.
Like this was someone's idea, right. And then they spent months, if not years, right, making it into a feature film.
Now, those of us in our 40s, will remember Eddie Murphy's hit single from the 1980s.
Which was?
Boogie in Your Butt. Put a little boogie in your butt. Put a little man in your butt.
Wow.
Put a tin can in your butt.
Yeah, that's those lyrics. So amazing.
If you podcast at penncinema.com, if you think I'm lying.
I totally believe you. It seems right up his alley.
Even better, hit me up, podcast at pensima.com, if you remember that song.
All right.
It's from back in the old days when Eddie Murphy was funny.
Does anyone remember back that far?
Oh, so many moons ago. Lo and behold, when people still had, not voicemail, what did we have? Answering machines. Mm. I was watching a show and the main character had an answering machine. And I thought to myself, that's, what do you call it when you have the wrong technology for the era?
Oh, there's a word for that?
Yeah, there's a word for that.
I don't know. I'm just making a note here of something later.
All right, Jurassic World 3.
Okay, now, remember we said last week, this is basically Avengers.
Last week, you said nobody cares about Jurassic World, and I said, pump the brakes there, tough guy. And then you ran the car over the chicken, the chicken cat.
You know, the chicken cat. All right. It has a title.
So now that we agree that at least somebody cares about Jurassic World.
At least one person.
Yeah.
Jurassic World Dominion.
Yes. Go on.
Whatever.
You got something to say about
this?
No,
I honestly... I'm
you
just
got something
like,
to say, David? Say it.
What I'm going to say is, this is fine with me.
This is the most boring news we've ever reported.
It
doesn't tell you anything. It doesn't mean anything. It's not exciting. It's not disappointing.
Yeah. Here's what the article I read on this was way too long.
Just like the podcast.
Just like this podcast. And it also went on and on about how this title fits the movie and where the last one left off. It makes so much sense that it'd be called Dominion because now we're in the Dominion of the Dinosaurs. I'm like, whatever. You had 30 minutes to write this story to get it up. Like,
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. So you want to talk about the coronavirus.
Yeah. I think it's important that we all get educated. So there's two things here. China's going through a lot of stuff with this. But one of the ways it's affecting us is Mission Impossible 7 has been delayed because Hong Kong has put an official no-no on public gatherings for fear of coronavirus. So the
Hong Kong. Venice.
Venice. I'm sorry, Italy.
Right.
Italy. Hong Kong's the next part. Italy put a no large public gatherings because of coronavirus scare. So Mission Impossible 7 has been postponed or at least slowed down at this point because they can't film.
They have not changed the release date. They're just saying their production has been
slowed
affected.
Down. Yeah. And you know, production has some relay time in it. It just means it's cutting into probably like reshoot time or effects or maybe they'll wind up building a set and then just
right.
and just
that's my prediction.
Yeah, just do it there and move on with life or find another place to do the set piece.
Like, for example, Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Right. A lot of people are always like, is this Italy? Sorry, this is not Venice.
We get this all the time.
You'd be surprised.
Right. Friend.
Yeah. But the second part is Mulan. Now,
Mulan opens in like 5 minutes.
Yeah. Now, this isn't affecting when it's coming out or anything, but what it affects is the projected. Apparently, Disney did a lot of work to make Mulan culturally appropriate. So they worked really hard to make sure that when this released in Hong Kong, it would not have any social backlash.
Right.
Which is bravo to them.
Bravo.
Yeah. They did a lot of work to that. But now I guess they're saying because it probably won't be released for a while in Hong Kong, they might hold it, or not Hong Kong, China in general, they might hold it for a while because people can't go to the movies, like that kind of stuff shut down. Or if they do release it, it's going to underperform. And I guess the industry in general is a little concerned that, you know, money drives everything, and that they want to learn the correct lesson here, and that if the money doesn't back up that correct lesson because of the coronavirus, they're afraid that Hollywood won't learn the right, continue in the right direction.
Gotcha.
So anyway, just something to be conscious of.
I think that's interesting the way you put that. In other words, they're looking at it not so much as, you know, oh shit, this is going to cost us box office gross. They're looking at it more as, hey, we're trying to make a statement about doing the right thing as it relates to cultural, you know, sensitivities, and we don't want that lesson to be lost in a, you know, headline about
They're like, oh, well, we dumped all this money into Mulan, right, and they didn't even, you know, they didn't care. So why should we dump money into that? Well, it's like, you know.
Unfortunately, I think that particular piece is going to end up being a lose-lose for Disney. Because I don't think, like, whether they release it now and the box office is soft because of all the coronavirus in China, or whether they release it later and the box office is soft because everybody already watched it online from the pirated versions from the States.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hold out hope for Disney that they were smart enough to sort of go this route in the first place.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can be smart enough to not be dissuaded, you know.
Yeah, and hopefully it's a good enough movie that it doesn't matter.
Right.
You know? So, anyway, all right, so let's move on to trailers.
Whew.
You want to start us off?
I do.
Okay.
Do I?
Do you?
Let's get ready to rumble! So, this movie, the trailer is called Rumble. Well, the movie is called Rumble, and it comes out in 2021.
Okay.
Isn't this awfully early for a trailer? It's a full-blown trailer.
It is. It's not even just like a teaser.
Right. Like, I remember that movie Brave.
Yeah.
They had a teaser trailer that was like at least a year early. And I thought to myself, wow, that's so early. But it was a real teaser. Mm-hmm. Like, it really didn't show you much and, you know, blah, blah, blah. This is a full-on trailer. This is a trailer for a movie that's going to be released next month.
Yeah.
And it's being released, what, I think summer of 21 or spring?
Something
or
like that, yeah. Like
probably May, if I had to guess. But anyway, why so early?
Do you know what this says to me? First off, it's Paramount Animation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Paramount.
What was the last Spies in Disguise?
Yeah.
Wasn't that them?
Something like that.
Which didn't do great, right?
No.
This animation, you can tell from the style, it's a lot of, it looks the same style of other failed animated movies, in my eyes, failed animated movies, underperforming animated movies. So what I'm reading from this movie's probably either done or almost done, and they looked at the movie schedule and said, I don't really see an opening for this until 2021, but they're done, so why not put out a trailer and get some hype, or... I don't know. What do you think?
I don't disagree.
Maybe they start making toys now.
I don't disagree with your position. I feel like I disagree with their decision. If you're correct,
okay,
then I disagree with their decision to wait. Like, I feel like you could stick this in a September release and do just fine. Or stick it, you know, you can find somewhere in late summer when Minions dies down and, you know, some of those kids' movies die down and pop this in a nice August release, you know, or slip it in an early December release right after Thanksgiving, or make it a Thanksgiving movie. I agree with your comment that clearly, I think the one thing that's obvious, it's hard to argue, is that releasing a full-blown trailer like this, this early, does not make me feel confident. I took a much, you had a little more thoughtful opinion about this. I took the opinion of, like, they just want their trailer out there. They're counting on, like, repeated viewing. Like, they just want people to have seen this trailer so many times that by the time it comes out, people know all, like, the brand awareness is high. I think they're starting to, they're trying to introduce a new franchise.
I wonder, I look at this and I see money in toys for boys, especially. I wonder if, because this animation style lends to very much a similar animation style we see on TV a lot, I wonder if there's a TV spinoff they're holding the movie to come out right when the TV, or a toy line they're waiting to be produced and come out, and maybe hypothetically things are delayed because of production overseas with everything going on there.
That actually makes sense. Well, that last bit I think is a reach, but I think your theory holds up. Now let's talk real quick about the trailer.
Yeah.
I liked it. I thought
I actually liked it too.
That bit from the Dirty Dancing, that was hilarious. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely worth watching. It's a good trailer. I laughed. I thought it was funny. And the guy goes, the girl's introducing the main monster guy, and she goes, he may not look like much, but he's got a monster inside of him. And the little boy's like, what, do you eat him?
Yeah. I mean, I like the idea of kaiju and people coexisting, but that they wrestle.
Right. And it stars Will Arnett, who's always funny.
Yeah.
He's going to be good.
Yeah, he's a great voice actor, too. So
I wrote in my notes, I amused myself, my take on this trailer. Finally, the monster wrestling movie we've been waiting for. Which is kind of fun to say and laugh at, but it is true. I mean, people love wrestling. People love monsters. People love animated movies. Like, all right.
I really dug the design on the, like, champion.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to an A24 feature here.
Okay, why don't you move on to an A24 feature here?
Is this the movie you were crying about when
no,
I came in?
No, it was one of many movies I was crying about.
Saint Maud.
Yeah.
We have a spiritual horror film.
This whole episode is a spiritual horror film. What I was going to say was, though, this episode has a lot of weird religious horror movies.
It's the time. Because when do these come out? Summer, late summer?
They're all over the place. One of them doesn't have a date.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a girl who works in a religious-based hospital.
She's a caregiver of some sort, like a nurse.
And she's possessed or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She can make water spin.
Yeah, and she puts like nails in her shoes and then stands on it.
Ugh.
I don't know. This didn't really interest me that much, but it's not my type of thing.
No, I it's not my type of thing either, and I love A24. That's the best thing I could say about this. Like, A24 is a great studio, class A all the way.
Yeah.
But this movie looks like, I don't want to say too much, because that sounds like, but
it looks well made. I give it that. Like, it looks like an A24 feature.
Yeah.
But not one that I want to see. Yeah.
Nah.
All right, take us on.
Sulfur and White.
Okay, this is an interesting one.
This is an English release. English when I say Britain. Mm-hmm. United Kingdom.
Yeah.
The island across the pond.
Well. Yeah.
London town.
Yeah.
And I think it already came out. I'm pretty sure it came out in England and is available VOD.
Are you sure?
No.
Okay, I was trying to hard check the dates on here, and I think the U.S. release hasn't happened yet, but because IMDb had the trailer as 2019, but then the release date in 2020. So But it didn't feel like a full feature film to me. Like it felt like something you'd watch on TV.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. But the story here is a man gets married and his wife's like, what about your family? And he's like, oh, I don't really talk to him. But then I guess his family looks him up and it turns out that they used to be really abusive. And so he has to deal with that trauma. Could be heavy.
This is a hard pass for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I was trying to be more open here to like broader spectrum of film.
So you're trying to be the, instead of just being a man of intrigue, you want to be international man of intrigue.
Exactly. Right. Well, I don't know if you heard this or not.
No, tell me.
Best Picture last year was a foreign film.
Whoa.
I mean, foreign films.
Did you watch it at like Zootropolis or Midtown?
No, I saw it at Penn Cinema.
Penn Cinema, wow.
Whoa, crazy.
These guys. What?
All right, so Charm City Kings.
Now, you want to talk about Villain?
We can.
I thought we already saw it. It came and went. We talked about this trailer like weeks and weeks ago.
What?
Villain. I remember watching the trailer. There's no way I watched the trailer and didn't talk to you about it.
I do not remember seeing this trailer.
Well, it's a good trailer. It's for a movie called Villains, which at this point is on demand. But it came out in late 2019.
No, I think we're talking about two different things.
Somebody correct me if I'm wrong.
What was the movie you saw about?
It was the two, like the man and woman go into a house.
Nope. Talking about Villain, which is about a guy who is an ex-mobster, and he gets out and gets like pulled back into the.
I couldn't find that. I didn't find that trailer. I typed in Villain, and then
Villains. Yes,
Villains. We discussed.
That came out.
That's done.
Yeah.
And again, I was reminded it looks pretty good.
It does. I forgot about that movie.
I might try to find it on demand to watch it at home.
Yeah.
But so what's this movie Villains? Or Villain. What's this movie Villain?
It's another British film. But it's about a guy who he's in prison for being mob related or whatever gangs.
Mobbed up. That's the phrase.
Oh. Yeah. Well, sorry,
David.
Well, he gets out.
Yeah.
And then they kind of pull him back in, and it was kind of like.
Wait, are you talking about Godfather 3?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it seems like he's kind of either double crossed or doesn't want to get pulled back in, but it's kind of one of those types of things. Well, it didn't seem like an amazing. The original story, but I thought the trailer looked pretty good.
Does it star Al Pacino?
Yeah, it does. Actually, it stars one of the Skarsgårds, but I couldn't remember which one.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I don't think it matters. I think they're all three interchangeable.
Yeah.
I think they like...
I think they're all actually the same person.
I think they like people to say that.
Different masks.
Yeah. Next movie, Charm City Kings.
Okay.
A Will Smith production.
Oh,
Will Smith,
that.
Jada Pinkett, and
I saw Jada Pinkett, yeah.
There's a third person who's pretty credible. Not Jordan Peele, but somebody like a good, solid producer. This looks like it's going to be an A-plus movie.
Yeah. That's what I thought. I thought, man, this movie looks really good. I don't really know if I buy the premise, but whatever. I don't think that's
going to matter. Wait, what's the premise?
The premise of motorcycle or dirt bike driving in the street being so prevalent.
Have you ever been to Philly?
Yeah, but I mean, I lived in Philly for a little while.
You didn't see it when you were down there?
Nah, man.
Really?
That's the thing. Like, I understand that this exists. I'm just not familiar with it. But this could be just like Fast and Furious. I didn't know that people street raced like that all the time.
Didn't you see Creed?
But now I know. Yeah, I saw Creed.
Remember all those dirt bikes escorting him? Like he's running, doing the Rocky run with his sweatshirt up.
Yeah.
And they're all riding along with him. It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's a Philly thing.
See, that I got.
Yeah.
This, I didn't.
Okay. So what I love about this is, you know, the best way for a movie to be good is to be authentic, mm-hmm. right? And Will Smith is a Philly boy, as we know.
Right.
Born and raised
in
West Philadelphia.
Right.
No, the movie takes place in Philly, right?
No, Baltimore.
Does it really?
I'm pretty sure it takes place in Baltimore.
That's going to make me sad if you're right.
I'm pretty sure they mentioned a couple times this is Baltimore. I could be wrong.
Oh, I hope you're wrong.
Podcast at PennCinema.com.
Charm City Kings. even if you're wrong, even if you're right, and it takes place in Baltimore, and I just embarrassed myself by saying a stupid bit about authentic. Even if all that stands, I still think this movie's going to be great.
Yeah. I think it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. The next one, which I'm actually really excited for, and I did that thing that I sometimes do.
You brought this up last week, didn't you? And I hadn't seen it?
No.
Okay.
But what I did after I watched this trailer is I immediately started about the business of figuring out who's releasing it.
Mm.
And the movie's called Fatima, and it is a religious movie. Mm-hmm. And I was going to say it has subtitles, but it's not. It's in English. And it's being released April 24th, 2020. It's a Picture House movie, which I'm having a little trouble figuring out who Picture House is, but it looks like they might be owned by Warner Brothers. It might be Warner Brothers' little indie shop.
Okay.
You know, like how the majors have a little indie shop. So I'm waiting on confirmation from that. But Fatima is the story of a girl who sees the Holy Mother, you know, and it's considered a miracle and people come from all over. But the story is really from her perspective, you know, as the girl. And I'm not hardcore into religious movies, but this movie looks beautiful enough. And I don't know, just something about this movie spoke to me. And I'm going to try to book it in Lititz. And if I can't, I'm going to go see it somewhere else.
I like the aspect of this of like her parents not being on board.
Right.
And then losing control of her
yeah.
as a result. Like at one point the father's like, I want to see my kid. And like the government won't let right. them in.
And the bishop says to the girl, all you have to do to make all of this stop is to just tell me I made it up.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm sorry you didn't see her.
Yeah.
That's heavy, man. Yeah. That's so heavy and so cool. Like, it's just, man. All right.
Moving on to The Painted Bird. This is an IFC film in black and white. Now, all the trailer that I saw, there's people just constantly quoted as saying how amazing and how stunning this is and how heartfelt it is. The trailer seemed pretty fine. I was trying to figure out what the heck it was about. All I know, it was about a little kid who obviously keeps running up against complications with adults on the run.
I want to go home.
Yeah, I want to go home. If you read the synopsis, though, it's about a Jewish boy on the run.
From the Nazis?
From the Nazis, okay. Yeah. Which makes a lot more sense. Because I was like, what is he running from? Why does he keep going from place to place? But the filming that we saw in its foreign language, it could be really, really hard hitting. It has the gravitas to Pinkies Out.
Excuse me. Do you need a more grown up co-host?
Yeah. Can I see your ID?
Okay, gravitas. That's fancy.
Well, I don't know if you know about me, but I'm pretty fancy.
If I'm anything, I'm fancy.
That's what people are always saying about me.
Yeah, this is a pretty intense looking movie.
Yeah.
And I was surprised. I mean, I think Stellan Skarsgård, who's the Skarsgård I like, and Harvey Keitel are in it, and some other guy who I recognize, and I know I should know him from somewhere. And this is a black and white movie. At first, before I clicked play, it reminded me of The Lighthouse.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I agree with everything you said about it. It's definitely, if you're a movie guy, mm-hmm. a film guy, if every now and then you enjoy putting your pinky out, if you fancy, watch this trailer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a film person's movie.
It's a cinema movie cinema trailer. It's not a movie. It's you know, this is not a movie.
Yeah, this movie needs to be on 78mm.
Oh, for like... Christ's sake!
All right, final trailer.
Some asshole is going to tell me that. Are you going to bring in your old 35mm projectors to play The Painted Bird?
That's the real way it needs to be seen.
I hope they have a deep British accent when they ask me that. All right, the last movie this movie is the one that freaked me out. When David walked in, I was just wrapping up watching this trailer. It's a Jordan Peele movie. I feel like this is called Candyman.
Did he direct or produce?
I don't know.
Whatever.
But I feel like this is not Jordan Peele making an interesting social statement, or maybe it is, and I'm just not smart enough to see it. But it looked to me like Jordan Peele just having fun making a crazy horror movie.
It's a remake.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
Candyman came out in the 90s.
Well, this movie looks amazing in a horrible way.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely am going to watch this movie, and I'm probably going to watch most of it with my hands over my face.
It's so creepy, the scene where the girl, like, there's four or five girls, yeah. They all say, you see Candyman six times in the mirror, and then he comes to kill you.
Right.
And they say it, nothing happens, and another girl walks in the bathroom, is going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And the girls all get killed, like, outside the stall.
Right.
And she doesn't.
But I like the whole storyline of the artist guy, you know, coming back to his old neighborhood and sort of... like, I feel like the scene with the girls was sort of a little bit of a hook, you know, to sort of tell you something. But the main character was compelling and interesting. And
he looks at it as an art piece. I thought that was interesting. And part of his art was he had a mirror and he said, this is for you to entice you to call the Candyman.
And then he thinks he accidentally brought Candyman back to life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he might be Candyman. That's what it looks like they were alluding to. Or like he's possessed by him or something.
What's your trailer of the week?
Oof.
You don't have one?
My
trailer of the week is Charm City Kings.
Really?
Because I think it looks so good, and I'm such a fan of Will Smith movies. I know he's made some flops, but I trust him. I think this movie looks like it's going to have real heart and looks like a lot of fun. It, to me, and I know the two are unrelated, but it has the feeling of Creed.
I'm a little torn here because I liked the Candyman trailer a lot.
My second choice would be Candyman.
But Rumble was a lot more lighter. I'm going to go with Candyman.
All right. All right. So this weekend.
Yeah. What happened at the theater?
Not much.
Really?
I mean, it was a quiet weekend, as is expected for the last weekend of February.
Right.
It did exactly what you would think it would do, which is not much. We did, last week I talked about booking Impractical Jokers, the movie. Yeah. We did book that, we brought it, it did well. Invisible Man did exactly what it was supposed to do. It didn't break any records, or, you know, we're not gonna be talking about it a year from now, but it was the number one movie by a good bit. Call of the Wild, still number two, Sonic, number three. Impractical Jokers came in at a respectable fourth place.
Did you watch it?
No, but my brother-in-law, shout out to Uncle Mike. Uncle Mike and Cameron came and watched it, and they texted me and said it was hilarious. Okay. Said they had a great time. I think the word on Impractical Jokers is, if you're a fan of the show, you're going to love this movie. If you're not a fan of the show, you probably should be a fan of the show, and you would probably still like this movie. You know, like, it's a good, dumb, easy, funny film. That's the word. If you need like a laugh, come see it. Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. Maybe I'll watch that today.
And we also had a sneak peek of Onward.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. It sold out. And the early word from everybody leaving the auditorium was that it was amazing.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
Because I had saw some mixed stuff online.
Nay. And I was like, stop. No. Dip.
All right.
Don't be jinxing my Pixar joint.
I want to see it.
I know.
I'm pumped.
Yeah. All right. I read the same mixed reviews that you did, or not reviews, but, you know, I heard some haters trying to hate on it, but the reality is the people who walked through the lobby on the way out of the film loved it.
Mm. And they all came out to see it early.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know what else you can come out and see? Or maybe you don't see it.
What?
Is The Invisible Man. Spoilers for The Invisible Man. What do you think of this movie? As you take a drink of water.
Nice timing, David.
Yeah.
I'm immediately right now wishing I had done a little bit more research, because I'll tell you what I thought of this movie. but I wish I had the names to back it up.
Okay.
What I thought of this movie is, I feel like I've seen this movie before.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Good movie. I enjoyed it. I don't have anything bad to say about it, but I just, I feel like I've seen this movie before. What's the movie where she escapes by swimming, but she's afraid of the water, but she takes swimming lessons, and then the towels, the guy tracks, she takes a bus, she disappears to some remote town in the Midwest.
I don't know.
Yeah, someone will write us in and remind us what movie that was. Podcast. Huh. I want to say it was Julia Roberts, but I don't think it was. Anyway, I feel like I've seen this movie a million times,
but
I liked it anyway. And our manager, Jason.
Oh, you were thinking of Splash.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Clearly.
Or Big.
Or Big. Right? Yeah.
Either one. But Jason, he pointed something out to me that I hadn't really thought about during the movie. But then as soon as he said it, I realized, yes, I hadn't put my finger on it. But what made this movie good, what made me like this movie, even though I felt I sort of had this nagging feeling that I'd seen it before, the soundtrack was amazing.
Yeah.
Very creepy music. Sound effects, like in general, it was really well done, and it had me appropriately stressed out throughout the entire film. Now, I will also say, I don't know where you watched it, but I watched it in IMAX.
Oh, no, I didn't, timing-wise, it didn't work out.
Yeah, I don't think it needed to be in IMAX. I think everybody already knows that, mm-hmm. But I did, that's where I watched it, and it was pretty cool. The sound effects and the music, like Jason mentioned, you know, were really strong in that environment. But in general, the sound was I think the sound was the most special part of the movie.
Hmm.
What did you think?
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I left the theater, and even for the later in the day when I was talking to people, I was like, Invisible Man was good. Like, it was solid. Like, it was a little creepy, but really suspenseful, and like, I don't know that you were necessarily guessing what was going on. It seemed pretty clear, but at the same time, like, it was still good. Like, I think there's a bunch of ways this movie could have gone that it didn't, and I'm okay that it didn't, but I was also kind of surprised.
Right.
And that's only because the trailers, I think, led us on a little bit.
Mm.
I want to talk about that.
Like, for example.
For example, the trailers, one of the things that they emphasize heavily is that she gets the inheritance as long as she's not considered mentally incompetent. I thought the movie was going to be a lot more of him doing things to make her seem mentally incompetent. And very quickly, he just starts, like, messing with her in ways that she clearly knows. I thought there was going to be a lot more mystery of her being like, am I crazy or am I not?
Right.
Type of thing.
Right.
But he just very clearly, like, something is going on.
Right.
Like, where right away he starts stepping on, like, the cloth and, like, walking towards her. Or even later, like, when he, like, hits the girl, the little girl that's next to her. Yeah. Which I was kind of like, was she in the right position to be hit? Like, how would the little girl think that she hit her? But I guess.
No.
What else would she think?
Right. Right.
You know? Why would she think that something else happened? But so I was expecting that to happen a little bit more. And I think some of that was backed up by a scene that was not in the movie, that was in the trailer, of her sitting in the room shaking, and the father and the daughter come in, and she says, there's someone in that chair. And there's an indent of someone sitting in the chair.
Somebody's butt?
Yeah, somebody's butt. Will you make things disappear up there? Yeah. That said, I mean, that not being in there was disappointing, but I also still thought it was really good. I really enjoyed it. I really liked the scene where her sister gets killed.
Yeah.
And how quick that is. Yeah. She's just, like, talking with her hands.
Right.
And then the knife flies in her hands.
Right.
And she doesn't even realize it.
Right.
I thought that was really cool. Good movie.
I loved, this is a little bit of a side note that doesn't really have anything to do, like, with whether or not you liked the movie, but the character of the sister was brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, she was so, like, wonderful and awful at the same time. Like, what a pain in the ass she was to that poor waiter.
Right? You gonna need some more time? Yeah. Lots more time.
Yeah, right, exactly. And then the waiter comes back and is the one who takes down the main character, takes down Elizabeth Moss after she kills her sister. Mm-hmm. Like that whole scene, I agree with you. That was absolutely brilliant. And how, you know, you can sort of see, oh, she's taken down now, she's in cuffs. And like, it just happens so fast and different camera work than the whole rest of the movie.
Right. Yeah.
So I also loved the ending where she figures out how to, that whole thing was brilliant, how she took that invisibility suit and hid it away for later.
Yeah.
Because that left you wondering, like, where's that suit going to come into play? And then as soon as she was at dinner with him, you were like, oh, the suit's in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the way, I love that ending. And but the best part of that is when she's walking out of the house and the guy, the cop, brother-in-law, is it brother-in-law or?
No, he was.
Boyfriend.
I don't know if he was dating the sister. Or
baby daddy.
Yeah, no.
Jason thought maybe he was a baby daddy. Yeah.
Maybe. It made it appear, she was the sister was a lawyer and he was a cop.
Right.
I think that's how their friendship was established.
Okay, so the daughter wasn't the sister's daughter.
I don't think so.
Okay, so anyway, she's walking out of the house having just killed the bad guy.
Yeah.
And she makes no effort to hide the suit from the cop.
Right.
In other words, she's telling the cop, like, I killed him. But she does not say that. You know, she says, I went to the bathroom and he cut his throat.
Yeah. You heard him. He
right.
He can.
It's all on tape.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And he agrees.
Yeah. And the cop looks at the bag and sees the invisibility suit and
yeah,
just moves on.
Is it open for the Invisible Woman?
Oh.
The sequel.
So let's talk for a minute, just a quick minute, about Elizabeth Moss.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, my God.
Fantastic. Acting so good.
Is she the female? And I'm going to say no. But I'm going to have this question. Is she the female version of Adam Driver today? Like, is she like making regular movies, but also incredibly talented actor? Like Adam Driver made Star Wars, but he was also incredible in, what was that?
Marriage Story.
In Marriage Story.
Yeah.
You know, she made Handmaid's Tale or, you know, I know that's not a movie, but, you know, she has shown her acting chops, but then makes this fun little horror movie too. Like, and I think the answer is no, she's not the equivalent of Adam Driver, but there was some sort of reminiscence to me of like, okay, this is a hot actress in hot in the sense of like, she's making good movies. She's picking good scripts. Yeah. She's obviously incredibly talented. Like, it's going to be fun to see like what else she's working on and what else is going to be coming down the pike.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. She's fantastic in this. Actually, all the acting was pretty good.
Yeah.
In this. Even I thought the like little girl was surprisingly good for
yeah.
the age that she was playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't say much more good things.
Like, yeah. So we're on board.
It's a great movie. Yeah. I'm on board.
Go see it.
Invisible Man. All right, on to listener notes, questions, comments. Oof.
Should we take a break? Should we like rest up? Because this is a full one.
Oh my word.
All right, well let's start with the easy, the fun. We already referenced it at the top of the show.
Yeah.
The Mystery Gobble wrote in, had us laughing. He's talking about the runtime of No Time to Die being 163 minutes.
Yeah.
And he said it's still shorter than your damn show.
He's giving us a lot of slack.
Slack or grief?
Grief.
Grief.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. Slack is the other way. He's given us no slack.
No slack.
I'll tell you what, he's given us no slack.
No slack.
And in fact, I'm going to change his name.
Oh, no.
No Slack Gibble.
No Slack Gibble.
Yeah. NSG.
Whoa.
It's like full of Chinese food.
Yeah. I'm sorry, does that have NSG in it?
Does that have NSG?
Yeah. We also heard from Joel Coates. he commented that he hasn't seen Deadwood. That was our big question last week. Should we watch it?
Right.
He said he hasn't seen it, but he's gonna, so we should too.
I think the thought process, the logic is sound.
Yeah. He also recommended some Apple TV show. I didn't even bother to write down because I think the only person who watches Apple TV is Joel Coates.
Joel Coates, yeah.
So here's our question for this week.
Okay.
Is Joel Coates the only person who watches Apple TV? Does anyone else watch Apple TV?
That's a fair question.
I'm pretty sure they have one subscriber, Joelicious Cornette. yeah.
Perfect.
So last week, Joel won for Home Depot on the back.
Congratulations, Joel.
Yeah. And we had a consolation prize for Rolando Smoker, who was very, very adamantly for 2 weeks.
My man.
Trying to figure out this joke. So I want to read an excerpt because he emailed us a couple hours after we recorded with how he had figured it out.
Okay, but I think you're glossing over something.
Yeah.
It was, first of all, the email in and of itself.
Right, which is what I want to read.
Which David's about to read.
Yeah.
Is a masterpiece.
Yeah.
But what David, I think, was glossing over was how funny it was, at least to me, that we recorded last week's episode and announced that Joel Coates was the winner. He found it. But, you know, shout out to Rolando, and we're leaving you some passes too as a consolation prize, second place, whatever. And then it felt like, but moments after we wrapped the show, we get this email from poor Rolando going, I found it. I did it, guys.
I was like, how do we tell him you didn't win?
The timing, you can't make that stuff up.
Yeah.
You just can't make this stuff up. It was too funny.
Yeah.
So hit us with this.
Yeah. So he explained, I'll paraphrase the beginning, that he was excited because he's their new parent. And the prospect of having free tickets would give an excuse for him to get him and his wife out to the theater. Then he says, I proceeded to listen to the previous 31 episodes in reverse order. I listened to a total of 43 hours and 46 minutes of the Penn Cinema podcast at 1.5 speed because two times gave me a bigger headache. So many Penn Cinema podcast traditions unraveled before my ears. What's my problem with Penn, Pinky's Out, and so many others going from full-blown expected statements to ideas in the back of the host's minds? I listened to podcast after podcast as the audio quality degraded. I heard the de-evolution of Black Bumper Becky's nickname. I heard the movie after movie reviews then discussed of... am I reading that right? I heard the movie after movie reviews review... I heard movie after movie review, then discussions of the trailers, then discussions of rumors about that movie.
Just put a pin in that to clarify what's so funny about that statement is, because he's doing all this crazy listening, he hears our movie review.
Yeah.
And then because he's going backwards, the next week he hears us talking about the trailer, and then because he's going backwards, a few weeks later, we're talking about the rumors.
Rumors about the movie.
So yeah. I think that would be really fascinating to kind of hear, like, you know, from your rumor all the way up to, you know, and I think it would be really funny considering how totally inconsistent we are. Like, the rumor for this movie we're totally excited about. 2 weeks later, we're trashing the trailer. A week later, we're talking it's the best movie we've ever seen.
What? That doesn't sound like us.
All right. Anyway, back to...
Okay, so many questions not answered. Why can't Penn remember a movie he just watched a week ago? Why can't David remember Roger Moore's name? Why can't they just do a little research before podcasting? Listening to no other podcast since that fateful day, I became more and more acquainted. I'm so horrible at reading. I became more and more acquainted with Penn and David to the point I felt like a creeper who knew too much about someone who isn't quite a celebrity. I was on a verge of giving up when a hint appeared in episode 23. A nugget dropped that reinvigorated my motivation. At the 48 minutes and 40 second mark, Penn says the fabled quote, Home Depot on the back, and asked David if he did his homework. This must be referring to the 22nd episode, I think to myself. One more episode. Just one more. Nope. Penn was referring back to episode 21's episode at 1 hour, 9 minutes and 32 seconds during the original discussion of the liberal BS commenter when Penn pleads with David to watch She's Out of My League so he understands the fabled Home Depot on the back quote, I am no longer the same person I was 2 weeks ago.
God bless you.
Oh, Roland. So much work.
You should seek help.
Yeah. Oh, my word. Congratulations, I guess. You did it.
You know what this brings to mind?
What?
This brings to mind one of the most common Grateful Dead quotes. Now, being who I am, I have access to a plethora of Grateful Dead quotes.
Whoa.
I could pull any Grateful Dead quote from any number of songs.
Yeah.
But the most common quote, which I don't often quote because it's so common, it's overly used and annoying, but it fits so perfectly to this moment. It's a line from one of their most famous songs, Truckin'. And the quote is, "Lately, it's occurred to me what a long, strange trip it's been." And I think that applies here as well. And it has been a long, strange trip. And kudos to Rolando for being willing to revisit.
Here's what I think is going to be a result of this. Now, I've known Roland so long, we don't know when we met. We're convinced our moms were friends before we were born. He is super intelligent, and he loves his lists. He loves his spreadsheets. He's always sending me spreadsheets of, like, random things. I bet you now he's going to start a Penn Cinema podcast where any like, kind of thing that seems, he's going to have a spreadsheet of the episode and when we mentioned stupid things so that if this ever comes up again, he can just roll back through that spreadsheet and catch the reference.
You know, people, a common question when you're in social circles.
Yeah.
Every now and then, when you're done talking about your kids, you're done bitching about work, and you're done talking about current events, every now and then the topic, especially if it's someone that you're sort of getting to know or whatever, the topic comes up, what's your favorite book?
Oh.
Right?
And you're always like, dude, I haven't read it yet, but I know.
And it occurred to me the other day. I often say my favorite book is the transcripts to Joseph Campbell's interview with Bill Moyers,
okay,
The Power of Myth, or one of Joseph Campbell's straight-up books. Or I often say the book I Heard You Paint Houses, or Mario Puzo's book, The Godfather. Those are some of my favorite books.
Right.
But it occurred to me just last week that none of those books are my favorite book.
Oh, my gosh.
My favorite book, this is so true. My favorite book is a book called Dead Base.
Okay.
Dead Base is a book written by these two guys who have taken it upon themselves over the course of, at the time, 30 years, to compile lists. Now, when I say Dead Base, I should clarify, I say Dead Base Volume 11 is the one that I'm referencing.
Oh, okay.
But the first Dead Base came out, I think, in the 80s. And what it did was it chronicled every single Grateful Dead concert and every single song played in any single Grateful Dead concert. And then it has sections, like lists of songs that were played in 1990 but not 1991. Songs that were played in 1991 but not 1992.
Oh, my
like
word.
Like every variation of statistics, every variation of, like, anything you could ever. It's way more information than you could ever want. I read it all the time. I love it. I go back through, you know, I compare, like, oh, on this tour, they always played Throne Stones at the last of, a three-night stand. It was always the last song, or they played at the last show and I can get lost in that book. It makes me feel better. It calms my nerves. And as soon as you said Roland's keeping lists, I immediately thought, oh, my God, someday there's going to be a Penn Cinema podcast-based book. That's great.
I can totally see that be a real thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This episode, they did not ask what Penn's problem was.
Right. Yeah, because here we are, episode 58.
Yeah.
I got no problems.
Oh, my gosh. We need to make this bingo board. Maybe I need Roland to help me make it.
Bingo bongo.
Bingo bongo. All right, let's move on.
All right.
What are you watching? What are you reading? What are you doing outside of the theater this week?
All right. Well, first of all, we're all really excited that Marley's home. Marley came home for the weekend.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
We watched John Mulaney on Saturday Night Live last night.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Bought a bunch of ice cream. I got my almond milk ice cream, Ben and Jerry's. Yeah. That's my go-to brand right there.
Vegan one.
Yeah, yeah. So Saturday Night Live, highly recommended. John Mulaney is hilarious. But I have news. Little Kayla. Kayla says to me the other day, did you ever watch that show Dead to Me? And I'm like, it's on Netflix. It stars Christina Applegate and somebody else who's wonderful. And I said, well, yeah. You know, I watched the beginning, but, you know, so Kayla's like, oh, well, I watched the first episode. I'm into it. I want to watch more. The reason why this is big news is Kayla and I are now binge watching Dead to Me.
Oh, wow.
The reason why this is big news is because this show has some F words. It has some violence. It has some angst. It has some murder. None of which is consistent with Kayla's viewing tastes.
This is crazy.
This is big news. So Kayla has now crossed over to being able, if the show is good enough, to tolerate the F-bomb with regularity. Because if you've seen Dead to Me, which I highly recommend, it's a great show. But if you've seen Dead to Me, it's rich with colorful language. How's that?
I'm trying to think of a good analogy for this. And it's like your pastor coming up to you and being like, hey, have you tried heroin?
No, the analogy is in 1960, I think, five, when Bob Dylan picked up an electric guitar and went from being a folk hero to a legit rock and roll star.
Gosh, so you think this is her rock and roll star?
I think this is the beginning, the Newport Jazz Folk Festival. Where next he played, time, picked up time, an electric guitar and played like a Rolling Stone.
Next time I see Kayla, she's going to be all goffed out.
No, it hasn't changed. She's still got a heart of gold, but it's fun. We've been watching Dead to Me. And then the other one that I wanted to just mention, because I know you've seen it. You've probably seen it multiple times. Our favorite director, Guillermo Barbero. Yeah, I watched Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh,
Labyrinth.
So good.
What an incredible movie.
Is that your first time?
No, okay, no, no. I saw it in the theater when we played it.
Yeah.
And I'd seen it at home since then. But I haven't watched it in years. And I came across it and perfect. Yeah.
Such a great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like it. If you haven't seen Pan's Labyrinth, definitely check it out. Me.
On the other hand,
I dipped in to my good old library of Patrick Stewart stuff. And I've been keeping up with Picard. It's going pretty good. I think it's either halfway or almost done. So if you like Star Trek, it's okay. But then yesterday, my friends and I decided to dip into something really unique.
Wait, I have to pause.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to come right back because I know this is building up to something super exciting.
Clearly.
But we need to reflect just for a moment. The frequency, and I hope that Roland has a chart. The frequency with which you use the verb dip.
Dip.
We dipped into, he dipped into, I'm going to dip into.
You can't handle it?
It's a thing. It's a thing.
Now I'm going to be really self-conscious of how often I dip into
You
that.
Should be. Okay.
Okay.
Because I wanted to call you out on that earlier when you were talking about Joel Codes.
Oh, yeah.
Joel Codes wrote in and said he's going to dip into Deadwood. And I wanted to stay on that topic, so I didn't mention it. But I was wondering to myself, I wonder if Joel, I'm going to have to go back.
He didn't actually say that.
He didn't say.
I paraphrased.
Right. That's David taking some liberties. Joel, are you going to stand for that?
No,
are you going to sit still while David puts overused words into your mouth?
I'm going to get home. My house will be on fire.
Your house
with a note that says dip into that.
You're going to get home. Your house is going to be in fire. Joel Codes is going to be standing on your front lawn pissing on it.
Exactly.
Dip into that, my friend.
Yeah.
All right. So, David, I think you owe Joel Codes an apology for, you know, paraphrasing, taking some liberties.
Look, Joel, I apologize. I never meant to dunk your sentence so deep into like that.
I'd like to dip into something to eat right now. I could dip into a bowl of Cheerios.
I wish I could drink milk. Anyway.
Almond milk.
Yeah. But don't you go tooting all over town after you have your almond milk?
No.
No, you're a better man than I, Gunga Din.
Gunga Din. All right. So listen.
All right.
I owe you an apology.
Yeah.
Because I was on the edge of my seat. Where we last left our hero, David, him and his imaginary friends, we're all getting together.
Yeah.
after now, having...
I want to take you back a little bit.
Take me back.
All right. I want to take you back to the 90s. Right?
I'm there.
Okay.
I got my mullet.
You got... And I'm just... I'm my boy... My boy Emmanuel comes over to my house.
Love that guy.
I know, right? And he's going to hang out.
Does he have hair?
At this point, he has hair.
Okay. Back then, he had hair.
Yeah. And we're just hanging out. And my mom comes in and she goes, guys, I got you a videotape.
Oh, VHS.
I bought this videotape.
Yeah.
I thought you would want to watch it. It has Captain Picard in it.
Ooh.
And we're like,
oh.
I never heard. Okay, cool. I didn't, you know, it's to us. We're still like, he's in other things. Other than Star Trek?
How could that be?
You know, that's crazy. So we take this video cassette of a movie called Safe House that we've never heard of ever.
Oh, my God.
We pop it in and proceed to have our brains melted, our young, mobile brains.
Impressionable.
Yeah. Melted as we laugh at this movie that we're not sure if it's a comedy or if it's serious or where it's going or why we're watching it, because we never would have picked it up on our own. And we proceeded for the next 20 years to quote this movie at each other.
I want to watch this now.
I think we've watched it maybe a few more times, but eventually it went into obscurity. But Emmanuel and I have consistently quoted this movie.
And you know what we've just done?
What?
We've brought it back.
The line that we quote the most from this movie is, what kind of name is Mace? It's short for in your face. So recently, Emmanuel's brother sent us a clip that he thought was funny. And it was like a meme. And then in it, it had a clip from a video. And it was a clip from Safe House.
Oh, my God.
And we were like, oh, man, we got to watch this movie. So last night, Emmanuel's got a big projector in his basement.
Of course he does.
We put it up. We watched 1998's Showtime-produced movie, Safe House, starring Patrick Stewart. And, man, we're about halfway through. We took a bathroom break, and the two people we were watching with were like, I can't figure out if this was supposed to be a comedy or not. Like, legit, I can't figure it out. It's not supposed to be a comedy, but it's a little ridiculous. It's about a man and the premise is the director was like, what if James Bond got old? What would his life be like? And it's a man who used to be a spy of some sort is now older, super paranoid, and dealing with the beginnings of onsets of Alzheimer's. And no one believes that he was a spy and that has to do all these things to protect himself so people want to kill him and stuff.
Mm.
And everyone thinks he's just going crazy. Or... maybe he's just going crazy.
If that movie came out today, it would obviously star Liam Neeson.
Clearly. Yeah. Obviously. Anyway, it's not a bad movie. It's pretty good.
So how did you play it?
You can get the DVD.
Okay.
I don't know if it streams anywhere, but Emmanuel had bought the DVD years ago because he was like, I need to have this in my collection for all the jokes, and I never opened it until yesterday.
I was also... I'm sorry. I'm changing subjects real quick, just a little bit. But it's the train of thought is that isn't it fun to have a movie that somebody close with you loves so much that you can just rattle off quotes like crazy? I met someone, well, I didn't meet her. I've known her for 100 years. She grew up with Amy.
Oh.
Shout out to Renee. Renee was in town. I've known her forever, but I only just discovered Friday night when we were all out to dinner that... Renee loves Moonstruck, which is one of my favorite movies. Renee loves Moonstruck apparently even more than I do.
Whoa.
She's rattling off incredible quotes, deep dive quotes. I mean, she was dipping into this movie like crazy.
Wow.
It was so fun.
Wow.
So I'm just saying,
it's great fun having
a movie like that you can, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what I got into.
All right. So next week, we have to choose.
Oh.
Because the number one movie of the week, the big opening is Onward.
Okay.
But in Lititz, a week ahead of Wilmington and a week ahead of Huntington Valley.
Okay.
In Lititz, we're also opening Emma.
I want to see Emma.
Yeah. So we're going to do Emma next week.
Okay.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, let's watch Emma. All right. So if you want to get in touch with us, the best way you can do that is email us at podcast@penncinema.com. can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/thePennCinemaPodcast. Wherever you're listening to this, leave us a nice little 5-star review or whatever you think we deserve. Give us a little write-in if you can. iTunes is always the preferred way for us to do that. That definitely helps. But the best, most positive way you can help us, how is that, Penn?
Tell a friend.
That's right.
Tell your friend how much you love the show, even if you don't, because then the joke's on them.
Right, yeah. Guess what I got you to listen to?
Right. Ah, sucker.
You know what happened to me?
Tell me.
I had someone come up to me, and they said, hey, you heard about the Penn Cinema podcast?
Stop it.
I need to tell a friend.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. So.
I bet it was Emmanuel, wasn't it?
No, it was Chris Hall Productions.
Hall Productions, yeah. Yeah.
So definitely tell a friend. That really helps. So once again, for the Penn Cinema podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care
and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Awesome.
Good.
Yeah.
Great. I'm happy.
It's a cat.